This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, Cheryl. So,
okay, Tig.
This is some small town
scandal.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to give anything away. I don't want to spill beans.
Well, we never do.
I mean, this whole thing, this whole podcast is bean spilling today because this is all that there is.
Yeah. If you're tuning in for the first time and you're like, I want a review. I don't want any bean spilling. Go somewhere else. This
you're knocking
is not
on the wrong
you're
door.
You're knocking on the wrong door. Okay.
No, but we are. What do we talk about? We talk about.
I don't know, Cheryl.
Well, I don't want to give anything away.
Okay. Let's just get into it then.
Okay, let's get right into it. Right. Ladies and jerks, welcome to Fruitcake Fraud.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast, and Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Happy holidays, Tig. Oh, no, please. Oh, no. No, you're too close to the microphone for that, for one thing. Hi. We have a real holiday theme show today.
I know, and I'm sure we'll still screw it up.
Oh, of course.
We'll probably end up talking about poop or something.
I hope we can make it through one episode without talking about
speaking poop. Of
poop. Okay.
My friend came in town yesterday, and she brought Max and Finn something that changed their lives.
What was it?
Whoopee cushions and fake poop.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
So last night was full of, look, the cat's going up the Christmas tree. And then we would act like we thought that was really happening. We'd get up. We'd stand up to look.
I'll stand all the way up to look.
And then what do you
when
know?
You sat back down.
There was a whoopee cushion. Or anytime you weren't looking, there was fake poop. It was fake cat poop, so it's really tiny.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's pleasant.
But this went on all night.
All night. And there's no end to it.
No. In fact, our friend is coming back over tonight.
And you're like, please take it with you when you go.
Well, no. Finn said this morning, I'm going to come home and rest for a few minutes because I want to have enough energy for the party tonight. And so I think, and it, when we say party, it's just our friend is coming over.
One person coming
with
over.
With fake poop.
That's all you need for a party.
Yeah. So.
But you know what this reminds me of? You know, I mean, I've told you several times that I worked at Universal Studios in
braggadocious
Orlando.
Alert! Braggadocious alert!
And when I was doing this show, this Alfred Hitchcock show in this soundstage. And at one point, I think it was an audience member, like one of the volunteers that we have on stage sits down on a chair before the lights come back up. There was a big twist and a mystery. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys in our show put a whoopee cushion on the chair. So when the person sat down, it was like, And then we were like, oh.
Was that whoopee cushion out of air? Because ours did not sound like that last night. Ours did not sound like poof.
It's a big sound.
Yeah.
But it didn't go over well, let's just say that. And I think the guy ended up getting fired. So the phrase around the trailer for a while was, whoopee, I'm fired. I mean, it's just a life lesson out there for any listeners.
Mm-hmm.
They don't belong in the workplace.
Right.
Because nobody wants to hear, whoopee, I'm fired.
Right.
Tig, are you ready to get right into this? Or you want to just do this for a little while longer?
Well, I mean, I think you should fill people in on how you're doing and what you're doing.
Oh.
It's very important to our listeners what's going on.
I am in the great state of Florida.
Braggadocious alert!
I'm hunkered down in a Holiday Inn Express. Just
braggadocious alert!
Having the time of my life.
Did I tell you about the time Stephanie and I went to Mississippi to see my family and we were staying at a Ramada Inn because that was the only hotel nearby? And when we were pulling up, she said, did you get us a suite? I was like, a suite? She said that seriously. Do we have a suite? Like, wait till we pull into the driveway, into the parking lot, and you tell me if we got a suite.
And by the way, will you get a baggie and get some ice as we pass the dispenser? Oh, my gosh. But you know what? It's quite lovely. It is quite lovely. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to be here, and I'm seeing my family, and I'm, you know, spending a lot of time with Cracklin' Rosie. And
oh, yes, what?
Dr. Becky Hines and I watched this documentary together last night.
Why didn't Cracklin' Rosie?
We didn't invite her.
What was old Cracky doing?
Well, we don't know, but after dinner, we had to sort of make a clean break because if, you know, it's sort of like once you go into their place, you really get sucked in and then there's a lot of talk
about family time. That's what you get sucked in.
We put in a lot of family time, but there's a lot of dog talk and medical talk, and sometimes you just need a little bit of a break.
Well, lucky you, you're healthy and strong, and you don't have to talk about medical stuff. What, you don't want to come over to my house and hear about my surgeries and my cats?
I'll be right over. Tig.
Yes, okay, we'll get into it. We have a lot to get into.
So today we are talking about the documentary Fruitcake Fraud.
Yeah.
It's a 2021 TV documentary directed by Celia Aniskovich. I hope so. through interviews with those involved, the documentary tells the story of a massive financial fraud that took place at a local bakery in Corsicana.
Yeah.
Did I say it right? Texas.
That time
Fruitcake Fraud is available to watch on Discovery Plus. I was a little were you sort of confused at the format?
The format.
Well, when you watched it, was it one?
Oh, yeah. It must have been a series, right? Or
I guess so. I thought it was going to be a series, but it just played through.
With weird almost breaks.
Right. So every time it would sort of go to black, Becky and I, Dr. Becky Hines, would be like, okay, oh, and then we're back. We're still going.
I have to say, when you suggested this documentary, I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy. And then I was surprised how much I was into it.
It's an interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
Did it make you want to try the fruitcake?
Well, I would imagine there's eggs in there. I can't imagine that Corsicana, Texas is churning out the vegan fruitcakes.
Well, especially since they've been around, this particular bakery.
Yeah.
The Collins Street Bakery has been around for a long time. I would give you a date, but there's no way to know.
Cheryl, there's really no way.
Oh, 1956 maybe?
Wait, can you take a picture of me? Remember how when we got on, you told me I look good today?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm seeing what you're seeing.
You're liking what you see right now.
Yeah, can you take a picture?
What am I going to... What am I going to do?
Yeah,
like, just, with my phone?
Yeah, just take a picture. Okay. I'm like, oh, yeah, right. I do look good today.
We'll post this on our story.
Okay.
Okay. And then all of the snark bowls can...
Not snark bowls. Snark bowl.
Snark bowls. And by the way, I like that now it's being used as a verb.
It's taken off.
It is really taken off.
Yeah.
It is really taken off.
You bet your ass it's taken off.
You bet your sweet ass it is.
Oh, you bet your sweet ass it is taking off.
Okay, Tick.
Yes, Cheryl.
In Corsicana, Texas, it's known as one of the nicest towns you'll ever meet. And in Corsicana, what Dom Perignon is to champagne, Carlin Street Bakery is to fruitcake.
It doesn't look like it's that high end.
The fruitcake?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think how high end can fruitcake look? It's like nuts and
fruit. I imagine there's fruit in there. Is that what the fruit is? It's just like maraschino
cherries. Those weird
cherries.
Yeah. And green ones too, which
ooh.
I've never seen. Have you ever seen a green cherry? Is that supposed to be a cherry?
No, certainly not out in the wild.
But honestly, at the beginning of the documentary, Dr. Becky Hines and I were looking at each other like, well, I guess we need to try this fruitcake because they did make it look good. And
okay. Did you order one?
No, we didn't go that far.
And do you, when you're hanging out with Dr. Becky Hines, do you call her that now?
She insists that I call her by Dr. Becky Hines.
Has she had any run-ins with anybody out in the world that's said, wait, are you the Dr. Becky Hines yet?
I don't know. I haven't asked her, but I should ask her. What I thought was so interesting, and tell me if I'm wrong, that the president and CEO of Collin Street Bakery is named Bob McNutt.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems comical.
It does.
That his name is McNutt?
Yeah.
And he's a very sweet man.
He is very sweet. But it is interesting that there was not anything made of that.
Right. Nobody ever had to say,
yeah.
You find it weird that your name is McNutt?
Right. If I were making the documentary, I would have really stayed on that moment.
You would have never gotten any further than just that his name is McNutt.
It would just be the McNutt documentary.
So this has been a family-run business that's over 100 years old. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's over 100 years old. And Bob McNutt has a great reputation for being warm and friendly.
And he seems completely nice enough, but the documentary made it like... I mean, honestly, he just seemed like a man to me. He seemed perfectly nice.
Okay. So Jerry Grimmett started working at the bakery in 1956, and he estimates that the bakery has made $25 to $30 million in total sales. But for some reason, profits weren't matching these estimates.
Also, why are there estimates? With numbers, shouldn't you know very clearly we've made $30 million?
Becky and I noticed, look, I just called her Becky. We noticed as the story was unraveling, there was not a computer in sight. We didn't see them on anybody's desk when they were interviewing them.
They were literally crunching numbers with pencils and erasers and doing those lines and then cross the line across the four to make five, like caveman numbers.
They were they're very sweet people and they've been working there for quite some time.
But there's not hard and fast numbers with this business because the fact that they could not pinpoint where the money
millions,
was millions. Of dollars yeah. were going, and they thought that yeah. they needed to cut back on ingredients.
They were really, this woman named Darlene Johnson was the company's first female executive, and she came across.
And listen, not to man hate, because I am not a man hater.
I'm a man lover.
I am raising two little men in my house.
Yes.
But how odd. That men have been running this company for 100 years and then millions of dollars are missing. And then this woman comes in and she's like, dumbasses, I've circled this area with a red pen. It's not that we've been overusing flour.
Yeah, so Darlene, she was the first one to say, I don't know what's going on, but we're losing
millions.
Yes. So they hired this woman named Symmetric Walker, who was the first Black employee at the company, which it was exciting as well. So now we have these two women working, and Symmetric starts digging into the finances. Why is she the only person that's ever
looked at the money? It's just before, it's like,
it's just some guys making fruitcakes day in and day out.
And we need to cut back on the flour and the eggs and the nuts.
Because we're losing millions.
Yeah. And she's like, let's get a calculator. I know we don't have a lot of money, but
I'm just going to look into some stuff.
In fact, I'll borrow someone's calculator. We have to give our listeners a break, and then we'll be right back to find out
what happened.
Maybe.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
And we're back.
Okay. So Symmetric started investigating, like we said. And she said something to her boss, Sandy Jenkins, like, hey, this is a strange transaction. Doesn't this look strange to you? And then apparently his white face went even whiter.
First of all, it's what, for like $10,000 or $30,000?
Yes, it's a lot of money.
How on earth? I mean, who is the accountant? That's who we should have talked. That's who we should have talked to, is the accountant.
Sandy Jenkins was the accountant.
Okay, but I'm saying, is there nobody else that we're talking? Did Sandy not have to
report to anybody? I guess Sandy could, use his eraser when he's jotting down numbers and erase it and say, oh, maybe that went to this thing instead.
I mean, it's just insane.
It's insane. So Symmetric starts looking. And when she casually mentioned this to Sandy Jenkins, he turned white as a ghost and was like, oh, I've got to get going. I've got a doctor's appointment. And she was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
She's so smart. Thank God for Symmetric. And then she started looking.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. She started looking and she kept finding these, like you're saying, $10,000 checks that were written, $15,000, $30,000. And it kept going back and back in through the years. And she kept digging and digging. And then at some point, she realized that Sandy had stolen $16.5 million between 2005 and 2013. I mean, what is happening? And this town is so small.
And he's making $50,000 a year.
And then he's coming in. At one point, Symmetric says that he came in and said, can you put this watch in the safe for me? And she thought, wow, that's a pretty fancy watch. And she put it in the safe for him. And then she looked it up and it was worth $80,000.
She's the only one researching anything. Everyone else is like, do-do-do. We got to get smaller bags of flour, you guys, or we're going to be out on the streets.
Everyone else is like, no, yeah, that's Sandy. He drives a lot of really fancy cars.
And takes private jets to Paris for lunch.
And it's not showing up on anybody's radar. And by the way, Sandy was a very nice, sweet, caring guy, apparently. I guess.
But also before he started stealing the money.
Yeah.
Who was banking those millions? You know what I mean? Who at the company should have been wearing those watches and flying on the private
jet? Well, they were saying that they couldn't give the employees raises.
I know, but I'm saying before that.
Oh.
Before, like 2005 and before.
I guess, when did The Godfather come out? Because, and I only ask because this little fruitcake company got very famous through the years, and even in 1972, this has been around for a while. Mm-hmm. Even in, they show in The Godfather, there's the little fruitcake in the background.
Okay, but it's barely on. That nobody's going to see that and be like, and go, I'm going to order. I'm going to order that. You don't even know it's a fruitcake or even a tin full of food. It's blurred in the background.
Well, I think that with the invention of the internet, they grew. And this is what it seemed to me, that the people that were working at the Fruitcake Collins Street Bakery, I mean, maybe they just didn't realize how much business they were doing.
How?
I don't know. They must know they're making boatloads of fruitcakes. I mean, it is hard to imagine. Like, it's like, God, all we do all day long is make fruitcakes from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep, and we're still losing money.
Struggling.
I mean, from 2005 to 2013, $16 million?
But that's what I'm saying is before 2005.
Yeah.
They must have still been making a lot of cash. So who is getting all that cash? And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, we're not getting that kind of cash anymore. And we got to lay people off. And, you know.
It just sounds to me like it was just that they were never really making more money. That they were just like, well, I guess we're just staying the same for 10 years.
So they didn't know they were making millions of dollars.
Well, apparently, if nobody has a computer at the place.
That is so crazy. It reminds me of when I first met Stephanie. She lived in this apartment with her friend. And her friend has had the apartment. She just moved out. Just moved to New York. She's had that apartment forever. And the guy that she rented the apartment from when she first moved in.
Yeah.
She said, oh, and do I owe you a deposit? And he said, oh, yeah, how about $100? It's a 3-bedroom apartment in Hollywood. And I think it's like $1,200.
That is so crazy.
It's the owner doesn't have a clue what he's sitting on.
No, when I was telling Becky, when I lived here in Orlando right before I moved out to LA, I was working two jobs and trying to make money and trying to save money. And I worked at this cowboy bar where I was bartending at this cowboy bar.
What do you mean a cowboy bar?
Like it was a country bar. Uh-huh. And it was these two guys, brothers, that just really wanted to have a country bar, and one of the brothers would sing every night, and it was fun. And if you wore a tie, you know, they'd cut it off. They'd cut your tie in half, things like that, you know?
Yeah, sounds fun.
Yeah. I started working there, and one of the owners at one point, because I had clearly been working at other bars before, and he said, what do you think about the way things run around here? I mean, what do you think about behind the bar? And I said, well, of course people are stealing from you. You don't even have a real register. It was, if people ordered three drinks, you were supposed to add it together in your head and then like push like 15.75, and then the register open. I said, that's not how other bars run. I said, just so you know, I mean, some bars, you know, they have a computer, you have to pay for it before the liquor even comes out of the gun. And he was like, what?
Really? Like he had never talked to another human being before?
Yeah, like he had never... Well, one of the other bartenders, she would smoke while she bartended. She would, like, she'd take a drag of her cigarette, and she's like, what can I get for you? And then you'd order, and then she'd be like, okay, I'll be right back. And that's that's the kind of bar I was.
I'm assuming they're still open and thriving.
That's a good question. It actually was a big bar. I wonder. It was fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is, at some point, if you own a business,
you
should get a computer. So. At some point, Sandy was fired.
Yeah.
They called the police. The police start investigating. And then the police realize, holy shitballs, this is bigger than we are capable of. And they call the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And then this woman, Christine Edson, comes in. And she grew up eating Collins Street Bakery fruitcake. And she wanted this case. She was like, I want to do this. And she hadn't done that many cases, but she wanted the fruitcake case.
Uh-huh. Would you want this case?
I would, just so I could tell everybody I was working on the fruitcake case. And she shows up in her, you know, fit as a fiddle, her little FBI outfit.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. That sounds condescending. First of all, they don't even have, you know, maybe they probably do have a standard outfit. Do you think they have a standard outfit, or are they just like, just wear a nice jacket and pants? Or do you think it's like TGI Fridays where they assign you something?
So you're saying like where they get their job and they're like, oh, and
go to the,
what should I wear? Like when they're leaving their new boss's office.
Hey, what's the dress code here?
Oh,
casual Fridays?
Oh, and
shorts are okay or no?
Yeah, what, just something fitted and nice.
Yeah, it's always fitted, isn't it? But they don't wear jeans. They wear like slacks.
Yeah.
And then a jacket so they can carry their piece.
Their piece?
Yeah, that's what we call it on the street. Their piece.
Their piece?
Do you not know what I'm saying?
No.
Tig.
I don't.
A piece? You don't know what a piece means?
Way to humiliate me in front of our five listeners.
Tig. You don't know what a piece means. Tig, are you kidding?
What's a piece?
A gun?
I've never heard that.
Tig, oh my God.
Thomas, how is that the funniest thing you've ever heard in your life?
Because you act like you're in action movies and things like that. How do you know?
What do you mean I act like I'm in action movies?
I mean, that's what you tell everybody.
I was
everybody.
In one action movie.
Okay, well, how do you not know that this is called a piece?
And I was going to say Starbucks, but I'm on Star Trek. And
I go to Starbucks every day.
My father carried a gun, but
a piece.
He was never like, grab my piece. I've never heard that.
I'm glad that your dad never said grab my piece, because that sounds creepy. You've never heard that this is my piece?
No! Everybody listening, please write in.
They all know this.
Everyone's heard it.
I promise you, every listener.
Where am
right
I going to hear this?
Oh my gosh.
Where would I hear it? I don't hang out with the FBI.
Everywhere. He was carrying a piece. She was carrying a piece.
No, you can use it in as many different ways as you'd like in a sentence, but it's not going to sound familiar to me.
Oh, that's like when you don't know somebody and your mom's like, remember Bill? It's like, I don't. Bill. You don't remember Bill? It's like, I don't. Bill. Bill? You don't remember Bill? It's like,
I remember Bill.
I like that the 50th time. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, Bill.
I mean, at some point you do just say that so she'll stop saying Bill.
Right, Bill.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, Bill.
We'll be right back.
After this.
With Bill.
Bill.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
And we are back.
Okay, so now the FBI has moved in. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff popping in Corsicana. And all the townspeople are a flutter.
Yeah.
And they know that the FBI is there, and that there's a lot of fruitcake talk, and people are, they really like to gossip in this little town.
Oh, yeah. What else is there to do?
Yeah.
And they're making fruitcakes year-round, right?
That was also kind of surprising to me when he was like, usually our fruitcake sales during the year,
basically dead.
Well, he didn't say that. He acted like there was a lot of fruitcake action.
But compared to what it is in the holidays.
Right. They must really, how do you keep up with that? I wonder how long those fruitcakes are good, too. That was also an issue because at some point early on, they got mad at Johnny Carson because Johnny Carson made fun of fruitcakes on his show.
Yes.
So they felt like he attacked the fruitcake industry.
Mm-hmm.
And they were seriously, seriously angry about it.
Yeah.
About him.
I just wonder, when in life would you just be having a fruitcake if it wasn't Christmas?
Right. You know? If you were at somebody's house and it was the middle of June.
Yeah.
Like, can I get you some fruitcake?
Yeah.
You'd be like, well, how old is the fruitcake for one thing? And yeah. Nobody likes, say nobody likes fruitcake. Don't say that.
Have you had fruitcake?
I feel like I did when I was younger.
But why is it so that response from fruitcake? Oh, no. Mm-mm. No. But clearly.
Have you had fruitcake?
I probably haven't because I used to be a very picky eater when I was a kid.
And well, so I can't the imagine. Look alone is not inviting for a child.
Yeah. So I would put my money on I've never had fruitcake.
Well, I hope that the Collins Street Bakery people are listening. Hey, Collins Street Bakery. Hey.
Hey, Collins Street Bakery. Hey. If you made a vegan fruitcake.
They don't even try that. They're not doing that in Texas. They're not doing that in, where are we? Corsicana.
Corsicana, Texas. If you made one, you don't have to make things with eggs or dairy.
Quit yelling at the people in Corsicana.
I'm yelling at everyone. If you're listening to the show, I'm yelling at you too.
Stop using eggs and dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy and his wife, Kay Jenkins,
mm-hmm. You
know, they were friends with all these people. And what I thought was interesting too is it sounded like they were friends with people and then Kay and Sandy would sort of cut people off and stop inviting them for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like it was that they were the ones ending friendships instead of the other way around.
Yeah.
And so they disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy and Kay disappeared. And then the FBI starts moving in and starts looking, you know, going into their house.
Casing.
Oh. Well, casing. Is that really the right use of the word?
I don't know.
No, I think when you case a joint, you go in and you look around.
I'm
and you're
just trying to use FBI words after you humiliated me about peace.
About a piece. Yeah. Well, I think when you case the joint, you go in and you look around and you're like, oh, I'm going to come back and steal this later.
They were probably casing their house for a little bit before they went in there.
I don't think that's how the FBI
operates.
Okay, so they go in and they find like $32,000 necklaces, $80,000 watches. They had bought all of these cars, $2 million worth of cars. And nobody in this town, this is
nobody is noticing that she's wearing...
This is the exact example of somebody that wants to be caught.
Yes!
There's no way you would be doing something like this. And they told so many different stories of why they have money. They didn't even stick to one story.
I know, and you think that in such a gossipy little town, yeah, you think that people would get together and go, oh, no, he told me his uncle died and gave it to him. So they found $3 million worth of stuff in their house.
And with terrible taste.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where are they wearing that stuff?
Well, money, as they say, money doesn't buy taste.
They do say that.
Yeah, they do say that.
And then the Jenkins had charged $11 million mm-hmm. to Sandy's black Amex. Mm-hmm. 11. By the way, if I buy like a grill for $500, I feel like alarms go off everywhere and American Express is calling and like, oh my God, who's buying that expensive thing?
When you know, you have the choice on Amex to tell them what amount you want to be alerted for, oh, Cheryl. But it's so funny because Stephanie didn't know for a while that I had an alert on our Amex cards. And so she would buy something and then I would take a screen grab of it and I would send her a picture of it and I'd say, are you enjoying your new shoes? Or I wouldn't even send a picture of that. I would just be like, oh, you got new shoes, I guess. And she'd be like, what?
What do you mean? So let's see. At some point, this is also kind of weird. Well, they were looking for the Jenkins, but not that hard, it seemed like.
No.
No, because how could they let them just leave? But they did. And then an off-duty cop in Austin, because their daughter lived in Austin, mm-hmm. finds a piece of jewelry in the lake.
I was wishing she would be on the documentary.
Oh, the daughter?
Yeah.
I know.
I was very curious about her.
I know.
Still am. If you're out there and you want to write in, we'd love to talk to you.
Come on on.
In fact, if you're involved with any of these documentaries, reach out. Maybe we want to talk to you. Maybe not.
You make it sound so attractive. Anyway, so that was kind of a weird moment in the story where all of a sudden all of these watches, what are the fancy watches?
Rolex.
Yeah, all these Rolex watches are found in the lake in Austin.
That's such a weird decision because they're going to rust.
It doesn't make sense at all.
No.
But also, clearly, there's some mental health issues involved.
Why do you say that?
Oh. there weren't great decisions being made. No. And then they tracked the jewelry back to the Jenkins and, yeah.
It's interesting when people find each other in the world, you know, this couple.
I know.
Because
it
I kept trying to imagine telling Stephanie.
Here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. You know how I make $50,000 a year and we want to fly around in private jets? Or how about, what if I started stealing millions of dollars from the fruitcake factory? Stephanie would be like, first of all, do they make millions of dollars? And I could be like, yes, they do.
Yes,
and
but I'm the only one that knows that they make.
Nobody has a calculator at work. So I'm just going to start buying us really
some fancy.
Like diamonds.
I'm getting a black Amex card.
And get diamonds and private jets. And we won't hide it. We won't hide it.
And no one will know.
And no one. We will flaunt everything. And still no one will have a clue. Because one of my 10 excuses for how we got rich. Everyone will believe.
And Stephanie would be like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, on board.
Yeah, okay.
Let's rob a blind.
So for whatever reason, the Jenkins did not flee the country. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't they just flee the country? Just flee.
And so, but when you flee the country, Don't you always end up getting caught anyway? You got to come home or not really?
It's a big world. Mm-hmm. I feel like I could flee the country and nobody would ever find me. You've ever been to Colombia? There's lots of jungles. You get, I mean, but then what's your quality of life?
Live in the jungle? I mean, I would rather go to jail. Like mosquitoes are getting you and alligators. Not to mention you might get hungry. Or how about a comfortable place to sleep?
That's
true. No. I'm in the jungle. Welcome to the jungle.
Oh my God.
But wait, is that where you would go? Colombia?
No, but it would go somewhere. I think it would go somewhere tropical, like Mexico, and blend in.
I mean, I feel like I've talked about this before on here, but no way to know.
No way to know. There's no way to
know. I feel like running from the law.
Yeah, it would be uncomfortable.
Yes, it'd be uncomfortable, but it would also be kind of a fun moment because you could...
Ugh.
Well, in that it's an experiment where what you could do with your hair or your facial hair, or you could put on 200 pounds.
I know. You really like the weight change of it all.
Well,
I think that's what excites you the most about running from the law.
Well, I just
By the way, that takes a while. You can't just go from, you know.
Well, how long would it take?
100 pounds to 200 pounds? That's going to take a bit.
Okay. All I'm saying is... Yeah. When you see on the news somebody that is hiding from the police, they always just bleach their hair blonde. Like, that is the thing that they do.
We're sick of that move. Yeah. That's the only move they have.
And if you put up a picture of somebody where, like, we caught him, and he's just 350 pounds and was 150, it would be like, whoa! Wow.
How did you guys find him?
Yeah, but truly.
But if it's just like blonde tips, you know, that's not that interesting.
Or you could go in for surgery and, you know, get...
A new face.
Yeah, face
a new
surgery.
I would like to be with you when you go to the doctor and you're like, I just would like a different face.
I'm just looking to have some face surgery done. Here's what I would do. I would put on 200 pounds.
Okay.
I would get
Face
surgery and then fake bajungas.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then what about like crooked teeth or something just to mix it up?
Well, I would get braces.
Ew.
Wait, what do you mean, ew?
Well.
You have no problem with a face surgery?
I didn't have a problem with any of them. I'm just thinking, you're not going to eat corn on the cob for the rest of your life because you're going to have braces on it?
Eating corn on the cob is the least of my concerns. I'm running from the law here.
I'm just saying, I like to chew gum too much to get braces at this point.
Well, you don't have to. I will do it.
Okay. I would love to see your makeup.
Nobody's going to be like, you got to keep an eye out. She weighs 350 pounds. She has braces, and she's a size triple D.
And you're just strutting around all over the U.S. in plain sight.
But, I mean, why don't people wear long wigs and a low hat?
Listeners, please write in and tell
us why. I'm just confused. Why do people just bleach their hair blonde?
They are under a lot of duress. I don't think they thought it through. Okay, listen.
Ugh.
7 weeks after Symetric uncovered the scheme, Sandy was arrested.
Arrested. You heard it
first. He was arrested. And Kay says she didn't know anything about it. Come on.
Come on, Kay.
Come on, Kay.
Kay, come on.
You are not fooling
anybody. Wait, Cheryl, can I have a minute with Kay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Kay.
Hey, Kay, hey.
Hey, Kay, hey. Come on. Come on.
Kay. Can you imagine the FBI officer that's just like, Kay.
Kay, look at me. Look at me and tell me you didn't know. Kay.
You would be such a good interrogator.
Kay.
Oh, how about Sandy has a lawyer. He was so cute. Brett Stalkup. Did you think he was cute?
I don't remember the guy.
What?
I saw this like 2 weeks ago.
The clean cut lawyer in Texas that was like, yeah, he did some pretty bad stuff.
Wait, was he older?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and he seemed nice. And he told Sandy to cooperate with the FBI. He was like, look, Sandy, you're going down.
He's like, Sandy, come on.
Becky was like, I would be a little alarmed if that was my attorney. And he's like, look, you're definitely going to prison.
There is
Might
nothing.
Might as well go now.
I can't. Thank you for hiring me. Make the checks out to this and that
there
and
is
send
nothing.
Them here. But there is
I
nothing
can't
we
do
can
anything.
Do.
We can't do anything. Just get start going to prison now.
My fee
and
is
start
$13 million. How does that happen with an attorney who's just like, yeah, thanks for hiring me, but there's nothing I can do?
It's like, look, Sandy.
You should have gotten triple D's. And put on 200
I think that
pounds.
Sandy's going to get triple D's. And then, you know, he went to jail. And then at some point, Here's the thing about Kay. She kept a ledger of their jewelry.
There's no way for her to know.
She was like, I bought this necklace for $35,000.
That ledger was the equivalent to hearing an audio tape of somebody cackling. That is truly.
It was why would you write
down everything? Because in case somebody stole it. She wanted a...
Who would she tell? The police? I wrote this down.
In that town. She could have
told the
biscuit factory her husband worked for. They would have helped find the thief.
Well, one of the things that brought them down was, besides just out-and-out stealing, was that they bought a house. And Kay co-signed for a mortgage.
There was no way for her to know.
Saying that Sandy did indeed make $25,000 a month.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, I mean, Kay.
Okay.
She was indicted. Mm-hmm. She was indicted, but she never went to jail. She was only
forced to eat fruitcakes for
the rest of her life. 5 years. 5 years probation.
Only fruitcakes.
And then they had to sell off their assets and sell their house. I mean, we haven't done any clips. Do you want to hear this really sweet woman, Peggy Harvey?
Oh, sure.
Peggy Harvey, who ended up buying their house.
Probably every small town has a Peggy Harvey now that we talk about it.
Oh, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Here's Peggy Harvey.
When I first bought this house, people did not know me. They just knew where I lived. And, you know, people would point and then I'd hear, she bought the house. I like to collect napkin rings with cats. I like to collect a lot of things with cats on it. And I've lived here a little over 7 years. Welcome to the foyer. Even though sometimes it seems like a waste of space, to me, it's just cool to have a foyer. This is the chandelier that the Jenkins bought. A friend of mine looked it up. They paid at least $15,000 for it. I found this house by accident. I knew nothing about the Jenkins. I figured it out. People told me.
Oh.
She's a regular detective, that one.
My question is, how many cat napkin rings can a person...
Never too many. I mean...
It was very specific. I love cat napkin rings.
Well,
it's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, she's no fool. I love all things cats.
I know you do. You probably have some napkin rings with cats on them.
I probably do.
All their assets were sold.
Can I just tell you?
Yes.
Stephanie and I sometimes will work in our bedroom on this couch that we have.
Yeah.
In our room.
Yeah.
And sometimes both of our children and all three of our cats sit on that couch at one time. Her dad lives here, so sometimes he's in his room. But if he didn't live here, every living being in our house
would
is
be
on
that
one
couch.
Yes. The whole crew. And we just laugh at out of our whole
ridiculous
house.
You are.
This is where
you
everybody,
all have to be on that.
We all
little...
are sitting on this couch.
They do an estate sale.
Mm-hmm.
They sell everything. And there was a lot to do about the mattress that they had. It was worth $39,000 and it was made out of horsehair.
I've heard of mattresses that are over $100,000.
I don't understand it. Because how long are you going to keep a mattress? I mean, you're not supposed to keep them forever, are you? Plus, horsehair. What gets involved in horsehair?
You're telling me at the Holiday Inn Express they don't have a horsehair mattress for you?
I don't know what this mattress is made of, but it's very
I do. Bed bugs, likely.
How dare you? It is a lovely, lovely stay. In 2014, Sandy pleads guilty to mail fraud, conspiracy, and lying on a loan application. Kay pled guilty in 2015. Many employees of the bakery attended the sentencing, and Bob gave testimony about the impact Sandy had. They ended up giving $5 million back to the bakery after they sold things off.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very, I mean, it gets really sad at the,
yeah,
at the
it
end.
Does.
When they're interviewing these town folk,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to go watch this trial, they're sweet because when they talk about seeing Sandy, they thought they were going to be sort of happy to see him
mm-hmm.
in shackles, and they weren't. And they felt, it just reminded them that he's a person and they liked him. And when it was very sweet.
Very complicated feelings.
A lot of complicated feelings. And then this is really sad, but he was sentenced to prison for 10 years, and he sent a letter to Bob apologizing and expressing remorse, and then Sandy died by suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently in prison before he got out, and he didn't have that much time left before he got out. So it's just, it's heartbreaking.
I wonder how his wife felt, because she left him.
She divorced him, right.
You know, did she do that because she really wanted to divorce him? Or she was
trying to save,
herself? And knowing that he died, how did she feel? I don't know.
It's a lot. But also, you know, there's something Dr. Becky Hines and I were talking about. There's something about a person... But like you're saying, that both of them, Sandy and Kay, were able to live these double lives,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because it takes a very specific person to work with people and have relationships with people. And at the same time, you're completely screwing them over doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can keep those emotions and feelings separate.
Yeah.
Most people can't do that. Thank goodness, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's basically the story of fruitcake fraud. And then Bob thinks that there's still money or treasure hidden somewhere. I mean, even in the lake, they found like a bar of gold.
How do you end up with a bar of gold?
I don't know. But what? And also, why would you throw it in a lake? And how much is a bar of gold worth?
A lot.
You said, no way to know. There's no way to know. Tig, there's no way to know.
You're right. There is no way to know.
Although, if I had... treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Like instead of the watches, I think I would buy bars of gold, but I don't even know where you buy them.
Yes. Hi, 2 bars of gold, please.
And then bury them, right? And then
you
write
would?
Out a treasure map. Well, it's
I would love to be a fly on the wall with you buying 2 bars of gold, burying them, and then drawing a treasure map. All in Florida, please. No, in Colombia.
In the jungles of Colombia,
yeah.
Take a right at the big tree, walk 5 paces.
What if you and I were in trouble for something together and mm-hmm. you were like, we have to go to Colombia. And I'm like, okay, but before we go, I need to stop and get a lot of Twinkies because I am about to quadruple in size.
We're not going to be great at running from the law. I can tell you this already.
No.
That your idea is to gain a lot of weight as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. And mine is to go into the jungles. I don't know how long we'll last in the jungle in Colombia. But I do think it would be hard to find us.
Or we get separated.
Oh, but we have a plan.
And you're in the jungle in Colombia. And then mm-hmm. I show up. I'm running late. And I show up four times my size.
And I don't recognize you.
I'm like, Cheryl, it's me. And there's my hair is blonde. I've dyed my hair blonde.
And you've burned off your fingertips, your fingerprints.
And?
Yeah.
I have triple D boobs. I'm like, it's me.
I think we can get away with a lot of stuff.
If you burned off your fingerprints, don't you just immediately go to jail? Because it's like you must have done something.
Listeners, if there's anybody out there that's listening that have burned off your fingerprints, please let us know why.
1-800.
I mean, it would be suspicious if you got arrested and they were like, what happened to your fingerprints?
Oh, nothing. Don't worry about it. Mind your own beeswax.
Don't worry about it, officer. Tig, are you ready for Happily Ever After Thoughts?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
No.
No. I think we were attracted to the same person. Do you know who you were attracted to?
Was it the FBI lady?
FBI agent. Christine.
FBI agent. Hands off, she's mine.
I mean, Dr. Becky Hines and I were watching and we're like, whoa, this is going to be slim pickings on who. And then Christine appeared and we were like, okay.
Uh-oh, there's going to be a cat fight over this one.
Okay. That's it for Fruitcake Fraud. We're going to take a little break for the holidays next week, and then we will be back in the new year with The Rescue, a documentary about the Thai cave rescue, which you can watch on Disney Plus. But before we go, would you like to hear some true fan mail?
Mm-hmm.
Camille K writes, hey, Camille K.
Hey, Camille K.
Hello. I love this podcast and you both. The day after listening to the episode where you brought up Sarah Silverman's bit on designating a pee corner the moment she gets stuck in an elevator, I got stuck in an elevator with the owner of the company I work with. I've only worked here about 2 months and I have limited interaction with her, but I was helping her bring some items to a conference room. Something got stuck in the door, the alarm went off, and there we were stuck in an elevator. My first thought was, while she is a very sweet older woman, I do not want to make out with her. If these are my last moments, but also, should I make the power move of designating a pee corner?
No, it's poop.
Oh, it's Camille. It's poop.
Yeah.
It all worked out, and we were only stuck about 5 minutes, but just thought you should know your podcast is now on my mind every time I'm in an elevator. I like that we really taught Camille a few things about what to do if you're stuck in an elevator.
I remember I was dating this woman in D.C. years ago, and at her building, I remember it was the very beginning of seeing her, and we were in the elevator in her building, and it got stuck. And that was the first and only time that's happened to me in my life. Yeah. And I thought it would be no big deal. Who cares?
Right.
Holy Lord. Only no big deal. Who cares for the first 10 seconds. And then I was like, oh my God, get me out of here. I don't even know if I expressed that to her, but I was in a serious panic climbing the wall. I was
Because is it the idea that you don't know for how long you're going to be stuck?
Yes,
and then you start thinking,
oh boy. Yeah. Oh boy.
Like, how long can you be in an elevator?
So I ended up just making out with her.
Did you really?
No.
Oh, see?
I mean, you know, yes, at another point.
Yes, but not at that point where you're like, this might be it. Yeah. Let's get to it.
And I think it was that awkwardness of just getting to know somebody where I couldn't, I didn't feel comfortable saying.
Oh, you couldn't
saying,
be yourself.
Oh my God, I'm terrified. Oh my God. You know, whereas it would be a funny sight if Stephanie and I were stuck in an elevator. But who knows, maybe the girl in DC would say, no, you lost your mind and I remember it.
Oh, that would be funny. Yeah. Well, if you're listening, hey, girl in DC, hey.
Hey, girl in DC.
Let us know what happened.
I think met her years ago, but whatever.
Oh. Is her name?
Yeah.
Okay. Tig, we're going to bring the fruitcake to an end. We hope you all have a great time with your loved ones.
Yeah. We really do hope that you have a really great time with your fruitcakes.
With all your fruitcakes.
And I am, in fact, on tour in 2022. And there are cities such as Ithaca, New York, Amherst, Massachusetts, Fort Lauderdale, Fort Myers, Orlando.
Orlando.
There's some other place in Florida.
I am going to try to meet you out there.
That would be
I'm
incredible.
I'm going to meet you out on the road.
New Orleans.
Ooh, that's fun.
San Antonio.
Oh, hey, Texas.
Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee. Madison. Charleston. Dallas. Oh, Fort Myers. Thank you, Thomas. Fort Myers. Mm. Dallas. D.C. We just were talking about D.C. Philadelphia. Portland, Oregon. Kalamazoo. Chicago. New York City.
Do you end in New York City?
Well, I mean, I'm also going to Honolulu. What?
I want to see you in Honolulu.
Okay, well, come to Florida and Honolulu.
I will. I like it tropical.
Which city in Florida? You know what? Let's keep it a mystery. And that way people
we'll
will have to buy tickets to all four Florida cities.
Yes.
And then one lucky city, if not all four, will get to see Cheryl Hines. What are you going to do?
I'm going to answer questions.
Okay, but it would also be fun if you went out and did some sort of storytelling.
I'll tell a story or two.
And also, Star Trek Discovery is on now.
Yes, also Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Should we do it again?
Let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl, True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kopasich and Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.